The following podcast is a part of the Spin Studio Network. Hello and welcome to another episode of Empowered. Today I have Madeline Carafa. She is the podcast host of The Healthy Hustlers, which she launched in 2018. I was a guest on her podcast a couple of years ago, so you may have heard me speak of Healthy Hustlers before. Ever since she started it, she has been sharing what she learns to help women inject healthy habits into their daily lives. I loved hearing about where it all started for Mads, and I wanted to bring her on the podcast today to get clear on what our intentions are before heading into the silly seasons, because I feel like we can get really distracted and really, really busy during this time. So before we dive into December, I wanted to get reminded about how to set healthy boundaries and also how important self-care rituals can be. I hope you enjoy my chat with Mads. Welcome, Mads, to the Empowered Podcast.
Oh, Revy, thank you so much for having me. As you can tell by the smile on my face, I'm seriously over the moon to be here. Thank you for having me as a guest.
Oh, I was on your Healthy Hustlers podcast. Was it last year or the year before?
I reckon it was the year before. Oh my gosh. Reckon it was 2019. I know, how crazy is that?
I'd love if you could share with the listeners what you're doing over there and on your Instagram page as well, what you're all about.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, of course. Well, I guess first and foremost, I'm a mum. So I've got a very vibrant little two-year-old, Georgia Florence. So she's just the light of my life. And I guess I'm with her, majority of the week. And then I work 2 days a week, which is on the Healthy Hustlers. So it's a health and wellbeing podcast show, which I launched back in 2018 now. It's so crazy to think. Wow. I've been doing it over 3 years, I know, and launched very much as a passion project. I spent many years in the corporate world, and I guess I always refer to it as climbing that never-ending corporate ladder. I was always striving for, I guess, that next job title, that next salary, that next promotion. Mm-hmm. And with that came obviously a lot of commitment to the career, but also a lot of burnout. So I was traveling a lot, and I was really struggling with that burnout and constantly, you know, every time we'd have a really hectic schedule at work, which was, you know, several months of the year, I would like crash for 2 or 3 weeks. And I just always remember thinking, how am I ever going to do this when I become a mum one day? I always knew I wanted to be a mum, and that was really important to me, but I also loved my career. So I used to think constantly about like how I could possibly do this with this burnout and the demand that my career took on me. And so I really started to take a lot of inspiration from around me. And I was really fortunate in my one of my jobs. I worked for Cotton On, the global retailer. And so we worked with a lot of, I guess, you know, celebrities or influential people, athletes and stuff. And they were always at the top of their game. And I used to think, how are these people so busy? Yet, you know, they never seem to struggle from burnout. So I really started to take inspiration from people like that and realized that a lot of it was just down to their healthy habits. You know, they really prioritized things like nourishing meals, meditation, self-care. All of those things were daily non-negotiables for them. And it was how they were able to keep, I guess, striving at the pace that they were going. And so I think once I really started to dive into that and inject a lot of those habits into my life, I just realized, you know, how profound that impact actually was and how good I felt. And so I really just wanted to be able to share that with other people. And it started as a passion of just helping other people like me who were in that corporate world, you know, in that daily hustle, I guess, really sharing those healthy habits with them. And so I originally started the podcast with a girlfriend, but it was back when, I guess, American podcasts were really big, but there wasn't a huge amount in Australia. And we got a few big names really early on, and the show launched at number one health podcast in Oz and number five in the top chart, of all categories. And so I think after that I was kind of like, oh, there's actually something in this. Like maybe people are actually seriously interested. So spent kind of the first 6 to 8 months just really building the community online. There was no kind of like financial backing or anything. And then about after 12 months, I really kind of thought, you know, I think I can turn this into a business. So yeah, today now it's my business. So I worked on it probably full time for, at least 12 months before I had my daughter. And then, yeah, it's kind of been a bit of more of a part-time thing since then. But yeah, it's great fun. It's an awesome space. And then I guess, you know, naturally the Instagram launches off that. So I won't lie, Revy, though, Instagram's probably something I haven't put much focus into over the years. And it probably just comes from a lot of fear, if I'm completely honest, from being in marketing for so many years and being on the flip side where I worked with influencers and now being in this space where, you know, I guess in a lot of respects, I'm regarded as an influencer to brands. And I'm like, I found that a really hard thing to step into. But this year I've really worked on that headspace, I think. And I feel like the last few months I've really been a lot more eager and confident to step into that. And I really understand the power of it. And I guess the privilege that I have to be in that space and to have people that, you know, do want to listen to what I say and are interested in learning what I know and, you know, are truly interested in living a happier, healthier life. So, yeah, I feel like I'm slowly breaking down that barrier of fear.
Oh my gosh. I love that, Mads. And I think that there are so many people out there who are still on the other side of that journey where they're kind of still fearful and really hesitant to, I guess, embrace that title and that label. Yeah. And I know why. Like I completely understand why. And I know that I've been in that kind of industry for so long, but I think it's so important to know that so many people would look up to you and people who have these huge followings and think they don't have this fear. You know, they've got what I don't. And it's like, no, like everybody experiences those nerves, that self-doubt, and that hesitation. And it's really just building the courage to go, actually, I really care about this thing. And I think I have some knowledge that people would find handy. And then, you know, it's just incredible to hear how it all came about for you. And I think it's awesome to hear the start of Healthy Hustlers. That's awesome.
Oh, thank you. Well, it's funny that you say that because when you were on my podcast, I remember asking you a question along the lines of how did you break down the fear and get comfortable with sharing? Mm-hmm. And I remember you said to me, oh no, you've got that wrong. I'm still not comfortable. And that really hit home with me. And I honestly like still think about that moment of like, we all have that fear, you know, at some point. And it's just, I guess, getting the courage to step through that and to realize that, you know, what we're doing is for a good reason, you know? Yeah. And so, yeah, it's definitely a work in progress. So I feel like I'll have weeks where I feel really inspired and I'll create all this content and I'll be like, yeah, I've got this. And then other weeks where I'm just like, oh, who do you think you are? Like, what are you doing? Do people really care?
Yeah, I totally relate to all those feelings. And honestly, yeah, sometimes people think, you know, ask me like, do I still get nervous or whatever going to shoots? Even to podcasts, I still get nervous. I started in February and I've had my own platform in the media for so long. And yeah, absolutely, I still get so nervous and I just keep, and I think that's why it's so important to have that why, you know, that real purpose-driven project but underneath you to so really true. Fuel and overcome those fears. So yeah, I loved hearing how Healthy Hustlers started. That's really cool. And I think going back to that, talking about athletes and people who are, I guess, mindful and conscious of fueling themselves for performance, not just performance physically, but I mean like mental performance. I feel like now I understand that self-care is such a important part of my lifestyle. I don't really remember a time even before I had kids where I didn't take the time to give back to myself. And maybe that's because I had a pretty early rock bottom, like as far as lives go, I've had rock bottom at an early part of my life. So I've understood that self-care is so important and it's a commitment. It's a constant effort. And athletes understand that. But I even had someone say the other day, I shared a day in the life and, you know, in that you can see me meditating, you can see me moving my body, you can see me drinking water and fueling myself with healthy foods, and you can see me journaling. And it's like there are so many people who aren't aware of the benefits of that and don't understand yet the commitment that comes with it it's a lot of time. It's a lot of energy and effort that we have to kind of, you know, it's not just given to us. It's like you've got to carve out that time and prioritize yourself in order to be able to perform to the degree that you want to. Do you feel like there's a lot of people out there that aren't prioritizing self-care?
Oh, absolutely. And sometimes I forget that there's so many people not doing that, because I think, you know, when you see people listening to like the podcast and I'm talking about that stuff all the time, they're following you on Instagram, you instantly think that they're obviously doing similar things or carving out that time as well. But I'm always blown away still by the amount of messages or that I'll get from people being like, oh, like, I just don't know how to start, or how do you find the time? Or I'm like, well, I'm making the time because I know how much better I feel, you know? And I think I had a real rock bottom probably after about 6 months after having my daughter, where I really learned the hard lesson that health is wealth. And for me, you know, health is, which I know it is for you, Revy, as well, but like just such a holistic approach. Like, you know, I'm big on movement, but like, I don't have to, like, for me, it's more of a mental thing. I have to meditate. I have to journal. Yeah. Like, those things are just like non-negotiables to me, right. So that I can actually show up as a person that I want. But after having Georgia and really focusing, I guess, well, just navigating that newborn world and, you know, all of those early stages of motherhood with also trying to keep a business alive, I really let my health go on the back burner. But I just realized, like, in that time, like, I got to Christmas last year and I literally couldn't even get off the couch some days. Like, I was just so physically depleted. And I just realized at that point that I'm like, I cannot give to anyone if I don't have my health first. Like, I cannot be the mum I want to be. I can't be the business owner. I can't show up online. Like, none of the things that are important to me I can do without my health. And so it was such a big wake up call. And I think, you know, even though I prioritize those things first, we can easily have those things, if it's a new job or, you know, I guess a new relationship, all these things can come into play that make us almost forget about the really important things that allow us to be us and show up Absolutely. As our best version of ourselves. So I think sometimes maybe, you know, it is, we just need those gentle reminders. Sometimes, you know, mine wasn't gentle. It was a big wake up call from the universe of like, hey girl, you better start practicing what you preach. And, you know, I ended up having to take 3 months off work at the start of the year to just literally give back to myself, get myself back to a healthy weight, you know, mentally in a good mindset. And so I feel like, though, if people aren't doing that there yet, it's obviously because they haven't realized how good they can actually feel. Like, and so I always say to people, just have fun with it. Like, if meditation might not be for you, like, you know, going to the gym every day might not, or physical exercise intensely might not be for you, but at least just have fun with it and really listen to what feels good for you. Like, for me, health is about feeling good, you know, everything with spirituality, mental well-being, all of that. Like, we want to feel good, and there's so many tools that can allow you to do that, but it's about experimenting with it and having fun. And, you know, after you do a meditation, how do you feel? Like, did you feel really clear and have a lot of clarity that day? You know, after journaling, did you feel really connected to your intuition or to your goals? Or, you know, like, bringing that awareness to those things as well, I think really help you realize the power in them and why investing in yourself is so important.
Yeah, love all of that. And I love that reminder, I guess, you sharing your story about hitting rock bottom. It's like you had the Healthy Hustlers podcast and you fell off the bandwagon of self-care. Totally. I'm exactly the same. I've had those moments where I'm like, preaching to give back to yourself, and then I've completely forgotten about myself. And it is that really just friendly reminder from the universe, like, no, that's it's not how it works. Exactly. I think it's a very common, unfortunately common experience for a lot of us. And I think as mums as well, we can just dive right into that self-sacrificing mode, give. It doesn't ever really, it's not sustainable. So no, I want to dive into this because we are in December now. So we're at the end of the year. Crazy. And I think as a collective, we can really feel that this time is so overwhelming. We can feel the expectations of our work and deadlines approach us. There's a lot of pressure there for a lot of people. There's also a lot of social expectations. We've got Christmas parties for the gyms, Christmas parties for, you know, this work or this community or in your family. You may have multiple family Christmases. So there's so much to achieve and get done, but there's only a very little amount of time. And this is where I find most people just go, whatever goals I've had, they don't matter. Self-care, what is that during this month? And although I think I want to be realistic to the listeners, I don't want to say, well, why aren't you doing 20 minutes of meditation or going for your everyday workout, walk, whatever, every single day during this month? I want to kind of explore the compromise. And if you have, Mads, any kind of tips that can help people just check in with themselves again before they get into the craziness of the silly season.
Definitely. I always refer to it as a silly season because, you know, like you're saying, I feel like we let so much go in that time. And a lot of the time, I know I've been so guilty of it in the past where I'll just be like, I've just got to get through. Like, I've just got to get through this month. So just go, go, go. And it's just, you know, it's not a nice feeling to then get to, you know, finally to the end of Christmas and, you know, to your holiday and take this big deep breath and think, oh my goodness, now I've only got 2 weeks to like actually come down from it. Whether I think it is really achievable to actually go into that holiday break feeling, you know, ready to rest instead of needing like, you know, a full week just to catch up from the whirlwind that you've had. So I'd say one of the biggest things, well, for me personally, is really getting clear on my boundaries around this time. And so what am I saying yes to and what am I saying no to? And I think, you know, for me, boundaries personally is so important because of my energy. And I like to think of energy as currency. You know, we don't just hand money out left, right and center. We become mindful of what we're spending it on. So we should be mindful on what we're giving our energy to as well, because it's so important. And so I think creating really strong boundaries around, you know, this time of year is really important. And that might look like, okay, work's really busy and really demanding. I've also got a full social calendar on the weekend. So I'm going to cut it back to just one weeknight catch up, or, you know, maybe it's one a fortnight in December. So you're not back to back during the week while also trying to go to work every single day. It might be, okay, no catch ups on or social things on a Sunday if that's possible, or, you know, just really trying to be mindful of what you're actually committing to. So I feel like boundaries are a really big thing. And I think for that, I always try to think how I'm going to feel in a situation. You know, is a certain situation going to be, is the room going to be full of really high vibing people that you have to bring your best self to? And, you know, you're in that high energy the whole time. So after it, you're going to feel, you know, a bit depleted and bit, you know, like that was a big day. Or is it going to be quite a relaxed long lunch where you just feel like you have really soulful chats and your cup's full? So I feel like really analyzing situations before really helps to create those boundaries of what you want to kind of say yes and no to. I hope that kind of made sense. I feel
makes sense. I love the analogy of energy as currency. I think it really shifts everyone's kind of perspective or mindset on our energy. And it's like we're more, it's interesting because I feel like listeners would be like, I'm more protective of my finance and my money than I am of my own energy. But, you know, your energy is so important. It can run out. You can be energetically bankrupt.
Totally. Yeah. So, and I feel like it's so, you really can. And I love the quote that your energy introduces you before you introduce yourself. And I always think of that, like, you don't want to be getting to the end of the year, like just so depleted and not even being able to enjoy these celebrations that you're going to. I think especially, you know, for people who have been in lockdown and all of that, like there's a lot that comes with going to a social event now as well. Like I feel like we are definitely a bit more depleted energy wise. There's a bit of social anxiety that can come into play. So being really protective of our own boundaries over this time, you know, and boundary, it doesn't necessarily have to, boundaries don't always have to just be like with social commitments. It can be with work as well. Like maybe it's putting your automatic out of the office on after 5 p.m. saying that, you know, I only check my emails between 9 and 5. I'll get back to you tomorrow morning. Or, you know, not checking your emails, not having the email tab on your phone on the weekend so that you're not in and out of emails, you know, all of December feeling like you're just on work-wise constantly. So I feel like it's just setting those little intentions and boundaries with yourself so that you're not constantly giving. And that then allows for a little bit more time of self-care. And I think, you know, self-care, you know, if we want to be realistic, it can be 10 minutes a day, like even just giving absolutely. To yourself for 10 minutes, which might, you know, I know since becoming a mum, my self-care has got a lot shorter. And so for me, it's just literally waking up. I will sleep with my blinds open now. So it's literally waking up to the sun and getting up and literally just stretching at the end of the bed. And then I'll put a guided meditation in and do a 5-minute journaling practice. And that literally, that 15 minutes in the morning just sets you up so much. And I think you're then starting the morning on your terms as well and with the right intention. So I think if you can even just find those pockets of time first thing in the morning, is really helps you set yourself up for feeling good that day instead of, you know, sleeping into your alarm, pressing snooze, you know, 3 times and it's just this flow and effect. Then you know, you spill your coffee, you burn your toast, you're going out the door with that kind of frantic energy and you're carrying that through your day. So if you can be a little bit more intentional with your mornings and your night times, I think that definitely helps too.
Absolutely. And I think I'm one to really set goals and intentions and do a vision board in January. I absolutely love doing this every year. I feel like it just helps you get really clear on what you're really wanting to achieve, what you're really wanting to, you know, stay clear of, and where you're going to put your energy and attention to this year. And I think that when it comes to the end of the year, we just kind of throw that out the window, and it's so unnecessary because then when it comes to January, it's like we have to start from the ground up, and it's like we can still find that healthy compromise where we don't throw all of our goals out the window and we completely lose track. And I think, yeah, it was Sunday, just gone for me, but I didn't go out on the Saturday. I had like a really clear head on Sunday and I thought, you know what, I'm going to do some goal setting. And I think that's a really odd thing to do in December, but it was more of a re-check-in with myself of like, what am I actually trying to achieve again? Like, and I feel like my meditation had dropped off. October, November has been wild. So it's like meditation had dropped off out of my priorities, that intentional morning ritual that you just shared, that kind of thing had gotten shorter and shorter. I was on my phone longer and longer at nighttime. So you just, when life gets busy, it's so easy to divert back to old habits that subconsciously you know aren't serving you. You know that that's not helping you live that optimal life that you are trying to, achieve. So I think it's just never too late in the year to go, hang on, what am I trying to achieve again? What are my priorities? Mm-hmm. How many times would I like to wake up, and for how long can I meditate for? How long could I go for a walk for? What are the things that bring me joy? Like we just throw these things out the window when it comes to Christmas time and give to everyone else. What does our work need? What do our mates need for these social commitments? What do our children need? I need to run around like a headless chook trying to give. And it's like, what can I do? Like, your kids want a happy mum at Christmas. So what can I do in these little pockets to give back to myself? For me, it's reading. Like, I just a little bit of a nerd and love diving into a book that's completely the fluffiest, most predictable romantic comedy you've ever, like, it's like a guy meets a girl. That. Will they end up together? I know they will, but I want to find out anyways. So it just puts my complete, like, there's no suspense. I'm just like, there's just no anxiety-inducing moments. I just love it. And it completely relaxes me. What are some of the things that you do to bring joy into your life?
Oh, I love that question. I feel like, well, it's To bring joy, I think it's definitely like being at the beach for me. We moved from Melbourne down to Geelong, which is regional Victoria. So we're like 15 minutes from the beach now. And I grew up like 200 meters from the beach. So the beach like is so a part of like me. Like I need that to feel really calm. So at the moment, like I spent the morning today at the beach with Georgia and I was like, oh, I just had this moment where I was like, oh my goodness, like I cannot believe this is my reality. Like it's a Tuesday and I'm sitting on the beach in the sun with my daughter. Like that for me is just like the biggest filling up of my cup ever. Mm-hmm. So definitely I think just being outdoors and in nature and, you know, it's even little things now. We went from living in an apartment, now we have a backyard. So some days it's literally just meditating on our grass with my feet in the grass, just thinking, oh my God, I've got grass in my own backyard. Like this is so cool after having, you know, an apartment and a balcony for like 7 years. So it's just those little things for me that I think just bring me so much joy. And I think I'm really big on reflecting back and really reminding myself of what my previous self wanted. I think sometimes we can get so caught in future tripping and, you know, I know manifestation is such a big thing and, you know, goal setting and all of that, which I'm so big on and I'm so passionate about. But I think sometimes that can be a trap and we're just always on that hamster wheel of striving. And so something I really started to do a lot of, especially in lockdown in 2020, was really reminding myself of what my future self used to want. What did she used to dream of? What were the goals she wanted? And reminding myself that I'm actually living that right now. You know, I'm actually in my once upon a time future self and bringing a lot of gratitude to that. And for me, that just, you know, allows me to kind of enjoy those simple things like the days when I used to just visualize having a backyard and, you know, space for Georgia to play. You know, I can sit here now and be like, wow, I remember the days of just dreaming of that. And now that's our reality. So those little things definitely bring me a lot of joy. But I think that's, you know, talking about the practices and that of for December, I think going back, I don't know if you saw that quote that kept going around on Instagram, like there's 3 months left of the year. How are you going to, how are you going to shine or how are you going to finish it? And I remember that being a really big wake up call for me of like, okay, let's be really intentional these last three months of the year, because I don't want to get to December and feel like I haven't achieved anything. Mm-hmm. So I did a lot of reflecting back, and a practice that I do every morning is gratitude, write my intention, but then I write my goals and my dreams. And it's the same four things that I guess I'm calling in or working on. And so for me, that's a really, being able to do that every single day after a meditation, it's so intentional and it reconnects me with what I'm working towards every day, instead of kind of like, I think especially with online, and we can just get so distracted with seeing things and jumping from here to there, or seeing someone else do something and being like, oh, that looks really cool. Oh, maybe I should do something like that, or sparks this idea. Like I feel like that keeps me really intentional with what I am working towards and what I have intended to achieve this year. So I've been really focused on doing that the last few months as well.
I think that's really powerful. Can you share that again? So what do you write down in the mornings?
Yeah, so I actually just created it into a notepad, which is one of my new products, because I was just doing it in my own journal and I was like, this is really working. Like it's really powerful. So I literally write the date and then I'll write what I'm grateful for, which that just naturally like ignites your energy. You know how good the power of gratitude is. Like I feel like that just really sets a tone for the day of putting me in that beautiful headspace. And then I set an intention for the day, so how I want to feel. And then I list my four goals. And so literally it might be the same thing that I'm writing literally for 3 or 4 months. Like it'll just be something big that I'm working towards. It might be, I don't know, like a monthly earning capacity, or, you know, how many Instagram followers I want to hit, or like, or it might be even something smaller, like, a project or a guest I want to get on the podcast. Like it'll just be, and I'll write that same goal every single morning until it's achieved.
I love that.
And then I just write one step that I'm like, what's one thing I'm going to do today? And so even if it's not a work day, it'll be like, what's one thing I'm going to do today that's going to get me towards those goals? So it could be, I don't know, writing an email or drafting a proposal or whatever it is, you know, connecting with them on Instagram. Like it can be something tiny, but it's just reminding me to do something that will get me towards what I'm working towards.
Yeah, I love that. I love it because I actually already do, you know, the I do a gratitude practice every morning and an intention setting for the day.
Yeah.
So I was like, yeah, I do those things. And then the goal thing I think is really powerful because I can – so when you said, oh, we easily get distracted, that's me. Like I feel like many goals. Like you've got so many goals in different – different aspects of your life. Like we've been renovating our house for a zillion years, it feels like. So I've got like home projects that I really want to achieve. I've got personal goals that I want to achieve. And there's just so much out there that we can strive for. I think, picking, you know, your top three or four and just jotting it down, just healthy reminder, this is what we're working towards.
And I feel like it's just, you know, after you do, if you do that, you know, 5 or 10 minute guided meditation, you feel so clear. And so then being able to connect to that every morning, I feel like it's so powerful. So the goal setting practice is actually one that I learned through one of my beautiful friends, Amy Bett. She's a business coach, but she writes hers in present tense. So like she would achieved it. Whether I kind of just write, I don't know, it just intuitively comes to me more as what I'm and I think it's that reminder for me to keep working towards it. So it's just whatever feels good for you. But yeah, I just found it, so powerful. And then aligning it with that gratitude is just the energy just feels so good around it first thing in the morning.
I love that because, you're being grateful for what you have already, but also I would like this.
Yes, exactly. And I think I did a bit of work last year with Gabby Bernstein, who's quite a big spiritual teacher. So she's really big. A lot that I learned through her was just that power of appreciation and how so often we're always asking and we forget to just say thank you for what we've already received. And, you know, she really talks about how the universe responds to energy. So when you're talking about aligning with your dreams or the energy, the frequency of your dreams, it's really that the things that we're trying to call in are high vibrational things. You know, they hold good energy. So because the universe responds to energy, it's about getting your energy to that high vibration so that you can become a match with it. So it's becoming a match with the opportunities you want, the people that you want, you know, even sometimes the lessons that you need to learn. I found that a really good mindset switch of like, okay, I think that's why energy is so important to me now, because I realize like how much power it actually holds in all aspects of our life.
Yeah, beautiful. So my last question, Mads, will be about the new year. What's one thing that you do to, I guess, get set up and align with your intentions, goal set? What's one of the things that you do in the new year for yourself to really dream?
Yes. Ooh. One's hard because I feel like I use January. I'm like a real big dreamer, I'm sure, like you, Revy, when you're always dreaming up things. I'm very intentional with the month of January. I always take, you know, 3 or so weeks off work. And it's very much like, you know, just focusing on what I want to call in or what I want to be doing that year. But I think one thing that is really powerful, which I know you're huge on vision boards as well. So I feel like I really spend a lot of the time on my vision board. And that for me starts with, well, firstly, I start with what word do I want to kind of like encompass my year with? Like what word do I want to bring through? What's going to be the theme for my year? And that might not always be business orientated. Like one year it was just being more wholesome. Like it was just wholesome. I just wanted to be, you know, healthier and happier. So it's just a word that's going to kind of be my, I guess, intention for the year. And so from that, then I kind of set out my goals and then I create a vision board on that. But when I do the vision board, it's very much for me around feeling. So I try to really get a lot of pictures or visualizations of things, quotes that really evoke a feeling inside me. So when I look at that, I want it to really, I guess, like fill my whole body with that good feeling emotion that it's going to create once I achieve that or call that in. So I spend a lot of time, like I kind of go back and forth on my vision board over all of January and just really make sure that when I'm putting those pictures on, like I said, they really spark an emotion in me that makes me feel driven and connected to it. I love having a lot of quotes on it. And then I make sure that I print one out. So I actually do a long-term, I've got one long-term vision board, which is kind of like the big things that I'm calling in, but I always just do a 12-month one. So what it is in that particular year that I want to bring in. And so that for me then sits on the back of my computer screen. It sits on the back of my phone. And that's where I guess then those goals, when I do that daily journaling practice, the intention, that's where those goals come from. I can look back on my vision board, my yearly vision board every day and think, okay, remember that's what you're working to. You wanted to, you know, create that product or interview that guest. And so it's really being intentional the whole year round about how I can call those things in. So I feel like if you're a visual person, the vision boards are a really good thing. But I think sometimes we can get caught in just like the pretty pictures or things that might be a nice long-term dream, and we really forget to connect to how that's going to make us feel.
My thing is pink. Like I am like one of those bugs that get attracted to lights. Like I just zone in. I'm like, it's pink. I am like a little goldfish. So if it's pretty in pink, I'm like, it's going on my dream board. And then I'm like, oh, hang on a second. It's a pink convertible. Like it's totally irrelevant to your actual goals. You don't want a pink convertible.
Yeah. I remember I used to do them, and it was just like, you know, pictures of a family or, you know, whatever, because it was like a cool picture I found on Pinterest. And I used to think, yeah, but what does that actually mean to me? Like, how am I going to?
You got to stay focused.
Definitely. So, and then I always, I love setting, you know, from on the vision board, I'll always have, like, I'll have a few quotes, but I'll have one big quote that's almost my personal affirmation or mantra for the year. So, and then I put that on the first day back at work. I always put that mantra at the top of my notes page. Or I always work off like a Google Doc sheet. It's a bit boring. I'm not like a good list crosser offer anymore. So I'll always have it on like on the top of my Google Docs note sheet. I'll have that affirmation. And so I just constantly am going back to that and reminding myself of why I'm here and what I'm doing and what I'm striving towards.
Love that. Thank you so much, Mads, for coming on. We covered so much. So guys, just to recap, we set some healthy boundaries around Christmas time. That's our biggest recommendation for heading into the silly season. Mads talked about the self-care ritual and the importance of that. And we both are morning people. So we like setting it up first thing in the morning, but there are a lot of night owls that are listening in, and it doesn't really matter what time, as long as you make and create that time and commit to it. Bringing joy back to yourself. When we're bringing joy to so many other people, don't forget to bring joy back to yourself, and making some time in the new year to do something that's going to be something along the lines of goal setting or intention setting for the year.
Rebby, thank you so much for having me. That was so much fun. I loved being on your show.
Thanks so much, Mads. Guys, thank you so much for listening to another episode. I loved that chat with Mads, and as you probably could tell, picked up a few tips and some really healthy reminders on how to give back to myself. And yeah, I think it's a really timely chat because it's about to get crazy. I also just wanted to say a huge thank you to everyone who has given me feedback, and particularly on the last episode with Chantel Duncan. You guys love that one. And I just want to say, thank you so much for all the messages that you've been sending me when you've listened to that ep. If you wanted to support, you can always leave a review on Apple Podcasts. I really appreciate when you guys do that. And yeah, I'm seeing you guys off with another affirmation for the week. So take a deep inhalation in, relax the shoulders, clear your mind, and repeat after me. I am deserving of everything I dream of. That was lovely. I hope you have a wonderful week. Don't forget to give back to yourself. Don't forget to create time just to give back to you before you give to everyone else. All right, love you. Bye.